We're going to be learning tonight a very important yesod in Hilchas Eruv Chatzeros, which is what we do commonly, and a Chosh Mishpah concept within that. We're up the bottom page, bottom line of page 462, and we're learning Siv Zayin, which starts in Echol Mezakeh Lekulam Yochel Erev Pusa. We learned that normally a person cannot do an Eruv with a slice piece of bread, but when you marry for others, then you can. I'll speak about that in literally 1 minute. So, ma'ovin bepas ba'oires va'doshim avoloi bepas doich. And with regards to the actual bread that we're using for the eruv, it needs to be made out of pas oires, which is bread made out of oires, which is rice, ve'adoshim, which is
lentils.
So you can make an eruv out of a bread which is made out of rice or lentils. Havoloi bepas doichen. Doichen is millet. You can't make. I've never actually tasted millet. You know what it's like? Doichen, millet. But that's if it's made out of that. That's right. Yes. I don't like muesli, but yes. There is doichen there. Yeah. So the Mishnah explains what is the difference in rice and lentil, which is acceptable, and doichen, which is not. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mem Zayin explains. Bottom line, bepas oires v'adoshim. Because that's the common, people do bake bread out of rice and lentil. Rice bread, you know, it's not out of question. It's not so common, but it's not very different than the rice cakes that are pretty common. So it's something which is edible and common. Millet, that's not something which is common at all. And therefore you cannot use that for an eruv. So it all boils down to the social norm. Is it common or not? So we could argue that nowadays lentil bread is also not so common and perhaps it wouldn't work. Perhaps, you could argue. But Mishabura does say that the Shulchan Aruch does say that pas oires v'adoshim is acceptable. Rice and lentil is acceptable. Doichen not. Okay, now comes Siv Tes. Now, Siv Tes is really important. So that's going to tell us now a concept, besides the actual halacha, which is as follows. So we've learned so far that everybody needs to have a part in the Eruv. Right? So if you want to carry again, just to start fundamentally aside. So again, we've got a private flat, and we want to be able to carry in the staircase. Or, a Rabbi Feingold scenario, which is just as correct, you want to carry from the bungalow into the public area. It's all Rishus Yochit, but you still can't carry. Chachomim established the Gzeirat Rabbonon. And the Gzeirat Rabbonon says, if it's very similar to a public domain, you can't carry there, you've got to make an Eruv. So therefore, you cannot carry in the public area in the bungalow, you cannot carry in the staircase, because it resembles a bit the public area, therefore you cannot carry, unless you make an Eruv. How does an Eruv work? Eruv is that if you're all chipping in towards a bit of bread, you give me some of your flour, 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 of everybody's flour, we're all putting in, I'm going to be the expert baker. I'm going to bake bread out of this, and then put it in your flat, and then Shom HaLisol, we've all established an Eruv together, and we can carry all in the staircase. Good. Because we made an Eruv, as long as we made it on Friday. Now, what happens if you don't make? Sorry, mate, as they say, you've got to do something towards the Eruv. What if you don't give towards the Eruv, and everybody else does? Tough luck. You can't, right? You have to actually physically give something to the Eruv. But this is not really true. Now we're going to be learning a concept which works, and that's actually very important yesod, because we're going to see that elsewhere. In fact, when we sell our chametz next week to the Rav, we're going to be doing something very similar to that indeed. And that is the rule and the concept of being mezakeh something ala de acher. So how does that work? Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, last word of page 462, im echad mibnei achotzei, if somebody, in one of the residents of this courtyard, one of the residents in the chotzer, he writes a little pass bishvil kulam, he wants to actually donate and give pass, bread, bishvil kulam for everybody, shapir domi, that works. So, what you can do is, b'mizake ale de acher, hubilvad shizke lohem ale de acher, as long as you're giving it through somebody else, I'm going to explain that in a minute. And when he acquires it, he needs to lift it up a tefach. Okay, so how does that work? So there's a concept of being mezakeh l'de acher. So if I want to be mezakeh, now this hat, which I'm sure you don't want, but let's just imagine for a minute you actually do want this hat. So if I want to give it, but I don't just give it to you, I actually want to give it to everybody here. So I can be mezakeh le'acher, I can give it to you. And as long as you're going to be makbi'a tefach, and we're all in agreement that this is, he's doing it on everybody else's behalf as well. So Chaim can lift it up now for tefach. And thereby, there's an acquisition taking place for everybody. That works. You didn't touch it, but it's yours now. You didn't touch it, but you have acquired it. And so did everybody else. Yeah.
Have you acquired it?
I have been mezakeh al-yedei acher. For all of us, yeah. Yes. So let's see what Mishnah Berurah says. You're touching on a point of the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. Let's look at Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Sivkot memchas bishvil kulam, for everybody. Afilu shaloi bifneim, even if they're not standing there. So family cake might be around when we are doing this action. They might be away, but it doesn't matter as long as you're in agreement and we're all in agreement. We can be mezakeh for family cake as long as they are part of the residence of the. As long as they're there, he works. You can do it on your behalf. Sivkot memtes, second line. Chubidvad shizakenu alidei acher, shalidei atzmo yenu yochel lezakus lohem. I cannot be mezakeh for everybody. I cannot just lift it up now and say, okay, this is everybody's hat. That does not work. I have to use chaim for that. Tahainu lezakus lohem, shekol zman shubiyodo iloyotzim rishus. As long as I'm holding it, I can't say this is everybody's hat. I can't. I cannot impose on you. I can't. As long as I'm holding it, it's still mine. So therefore, I need to use a third party. Sevkotn nun in Mishnah Berurah alidei acher. Dehainu, i.e., how does it work? Shayoy maloy. He says, I'm saying to Chaim now, kabel pase, take this item, which is in our case the hat, but in Shulchan Aruch's case, the bread, uzchebo, and acquire it, lechol bnei chotzer, on behalf of the entire chotzer, all the residents in the chotzer. Acquire it on their behalf. Vehu, and him, in our case, Chaim Yeshua Levi, Yachshu Bakbosoi, when he lifts it up, he's got in his mind, when he does the Akbar, he's got in mind, Bakbosoi Bishul Kulam. He intends, when he does the Akbar, he has everybody in mind. Vaaf, Shehem Lo Yasu Shliach, although they didn't actually physically appoint him as their agent acting on their behalf. Zochin Lodom Shalai Befonov. There is a rule that the Gemara speaks about, that zochin le'odom, you can get a benefit, as chos, a positive something, zochin le'odom, you can get something positive, shaloi befonov, in their absence. That does work. Chaim, can I be matir here for a second? So what we are learning now is that, let's say I want this recorder now. If I would want to, this is not mine, but let's just assume it's mine. So I want to give this to Chaim, what I can do, as long as you make akbar, you lift it up for one tefach, and that's my intention, that's his intention, and that's all of you's intention. When he lifts it up, it's not just his, that anyway, but by doing this hakbo, it's actually a shliach, everybody's shliach, and that belongs to everybody. Yes, it's true, it's in his hands, but okay, thank you very much. I just want to show the hakbo. So once it's in you, he's done the hakbo on everybody, so it's whilst it's true, it's in his hands, but it's not more. That's the chiddush. Here comes the chiddush. It's not in any way more his than yours. In no way. It's everybody. It's imamash everybody's, because he's been zoicha shaloi be fonov. If there's anything negative with that, if it's a debt contract, if it's a debt or something, he wouldn't be able to do it in your absence. But it's zochin shaloi be fonov, shaloi be fonov, that's his acquired. So therefore, Rabbi, coming back to our chotzer and our eruv. So the lechatchila what the Gemara said, the minhag is that everybody gives a bit of flour. Okay, that's very nice. Very, very nice. But imagine you want to do this, if it's not realistic and not practical to get flour from everybody, such as a whole city Eruv. Did you give something in towards the Eruv? You give a flour towards it. It's not realistic, right? It's not practical. So how do we do it? It works. That's Zochen Shalai Befonov. So Rabbi Lieberman, when he does the Eruv, or in Northwest London, when the London Beis Din does, when he do the Eruv, for the entire Northwest Land, or for the entire edge. That's what they do. They do this acquisition on everybody else's behalf. Yes, you have a part in the box of matzahs up there, in the nail. It's partially yours. You own it to some extent. It's true. There's other thousands of people who have also sharing it, but it's partially yours. Did you know that? It's yours too. So because Zochin Shabbat, whenever Rabbi Lehman did, he made an acquisition on somebody else's behalf. Zochin le'odam shaloi befonav, and we all have parts of it. 100%. 100%. It works, 100%. So that's the way. Now you need to do the hakbar. Now how long is the, how far does the hakbar need to be? So Shulchan Aruch teaches us a tefach. Is that a chiddush or not? Why? Oh, exactly. It's a massive chiddush. One tefach works. If one tefach works, normally we know that when we make an acquisition, a kinyan, normally we've got to do three tefachim. But over here, one tefach works. And that's obviously a very big chiddush. Why is that? So that's the kula. Mishneh Berurah says in Sifkot Nun Aleph, Afil das ha'omrim b'chosh mishpah, although generally when it comes to chosh mishpah, we learn you need to do three tefachim. Here, when it comes to an Eruv, which is the Rabbanon, we are lenient. Made a kula that one tefach works. However, Taz holds that, you've got to make sure that you do this tefach, but you need no more. Now, Rabbi Yisai, just to put that in context of next week's kinyan that the Rav makes, when you go to Rav, there is a great concern. We want to make sure that the chometz really gets out of our rishos. That's really our priority. We want to go to buy all the chometz. So how do we do that? So what happens when you make that kinyan?
You transfer the ownership
through
the rov. Yeah. So we actually do several things. You're right. One of the things we do, we appoint a mishliach. But another thing we do is what the Rav does by being appointed as shliach, he's also mezake aliday. He also does this process of being mezake aliday acher. He will do for the goy because it's not partially exactly how the kinyanim work for a goy. But perhaps one of the things that that the Rav does, it's a bit of machlokes, kesef shtar kinyan, which kinyanim works for goy. But one of the things he does, he will make a kinyan on. We'll make a kinyan, akbar, and thereby being mezakeh al-edei acher for the good to acquire the chometz. But yes, this is because we take all the chumras and we do kesef, we do shtar, and we do everything else as well.
Let's say he's literally lifting up the item, but there the chometz, how do you transfer that chometz?
With chalipin, I think
chalipin.
Chalipin, which works that by. There's a few things. So one is we actually appoint by making a kinyan, we appoint the rav to act on our behalf. In reality, this is a chumrah. You could really just tell him to do it. You could even do it by phone. And you could even send him a text. Really, that would work too. But in order to enforce and to make 100% sure, to stress and emphasize that we really want the rav to sell our chametz. So we make a kinyan in order to him to acquire the rights to sell the chometz. Yeah, that's also a permission. It's like, yes, because really, I can't sell your, imagine I'll go and sell your glasses. Imagine I'll sell your kitchenware to a goy. I've got no rights to sell your stuff, it's yours. So in order to get out of this, we actually make, and this is the problem, it's a real chosh mishpah problem. How can he sell your stuff? So we need to really make sure that he's acting on our behalf, and that's, that you give him the rights to sell everything, and that's why we make a kinyan. One tefach. Yeah.
I was thinking that in the numbers of Arab, and we said before that it's got to be that everyone shows their will that they want to do it, otherwise it's not.
Yeah.
By definition, it's not Arab.
Yeah. So you're saying, how does it work?
If the Rav is doing exactly for everyone, and you have a few people against the Arab, and they've got us.
That's a very good question. It's a massive question there. It's a really, really massive question. It's a problem. This is one of the problems with Eruv. So Rabbi Frankel mentions an issue that we learned that this is a real issue. Rabbi Frankel touched on one of the subjects that people who are stringent and do not wish to carry an Eruv, that's one of the arguments. We learned earlier that the whole idea of an Eruv, Rabbi Frankel quotes that a lot, if somebody doesn't want to be part of the Eruv, he can actually destroy the Eruv. So if a person is not part of the Eruv, if you don't want to be part of it, so now, if the rav is mezaki alidei acher, and everybody gets a share of that, so he's involved people in the Eruv that don't really want to be part of the Eruv. And there's people who don't believe in the Eruv, which are part of the Eruv, that actually is potentially a problem. If there is room to be mechalek and say that's not really called in a mode of eruv, and there's arguments, but as a rule, your tain is a very solid tain. Okay, we continue. Second line. V'tzorech lezakos lekob ne'achotze es oy amavui. You need to include everybody who is dwelling in the chotze and the mavui. V'lechol mi shetoyz miyum zeveelech. That's an interesting chiddush. The third line of Shulchan Aruch tells us, V'lechol mi sheitoysef miyoyim ze ve'eilech. And not only the Eruv includes everybody who is present, currently, now, what happens if somebody moves into one of the flats next week? What if somebody moves to one of the bungalows in 3 weeks' time? What if somebody moves to Edgeway in 2 months' time? What happens then? Is he allowed to carry? Yes or no? He's not been part of this process. Process is only done once a year. Or a few times a year. But certainly not every week. So how does it work? The answer is, when I give you this and you make the kinyan for everybody, not only are you including everybody who is here now, but you're also including everybody who is going to come. It works. In your mind, it's a chiddush. It's chiddush that you have in mind, even though I don't know who is going to move and who is going to join, but the few people who are going to join, I've included them as well. That works. We move on. Third line. Some say that even if you do not specify explicitly who is going to join and who is coming, joining the Eruv, nevertheless, Leiv Beis Din Master Aleim, the heart of the Beis Din makes that condition, and we assume that everything is included. But if there's more dwelling places were added, physical constructions were being added, that they should be specified. And here we go. So, if there is actual residents who are moving, you don't have to specify. But if there's more, the area is included, there's more greater, larger space which are included, that should be specified specifically. Sif Yud. Can I ask a child, a minor, to be making the acquisition of everybody's behalf? So we used Chaim as an example. Chaim, he's a godel, but what happens if I ask a child to do so? Can I ask a child who's not bar mitzvah yet to make this acquisition on everybody else's behalf? Does it work? Yes or no? A cotton is normally doesn't have a kenyan. Cannot be makne. Cannot. What about noshim? Women? Works or no works? Oh, we'll see soon. Can he maybe do it for... So what about... Says Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud. When you're doing this process of acquiring through somebody else, do not use your son, uvito your daughter, even if they're not eating on your table, if they're self-efficient. Nevertheless, you may not use your son or your daughter. Veloy, similarly, you may not also use your avdo, your slave. Veshifchos, your maitav, naknanim, the non-Jewish maitav or slave. Aval, but, mezakehu, halidei, bitoy, bnoy, vito, akdoelim. But you may use your child, who is your son or your daughter, who are akdoelim ready. If they are post-bao bas mitzvah, you may use them. Hafurish mochiv velchona, even if they are still eating by your table, if they're not self-efficient, if you're still providing for them. No, that doesn't make a difference. You can't be, if they're bar mitzvah, you can use them, that's fine. They can be mezakel de'ach, that works. And if it is the Jewish maid servant or slave, that works, even if they're k'tanim. Valede ishtoi, and through your wife, although you're obviously providing for your support, you're obviously giving her food, nevertheless, even if she doesn't have her own house. But yes, a wife, or any woman for that matter, can be mezakeh l'de'acher. Continues the Shulchan. Yeah, let's just see the Mishnah Berurah. How do you know that woman works? Sifkot nun tes, vale de ishtu, kshinois no ach, maton el demenash, shein le balo rishus pomani. A woman can have her own kinyonim. A woman can have her own acquisitions, and therefore, she can be mezak. So, if you give it to your wife, and she says, okay, I'm mezak it all. public, it works. You can actually just give it to your wife. She makes the akbar, and there you go. Everybody's included. It does work. But for anybody who is a child still, that will not work. Fine, let's just summarize what we covered this evening. We learned this evening that you can be mezake for others, and for that you can use a pulsa as well, a sliced piece of bread as well. If you're making eruv, you can use rice or lentil, but you cannot use millet. Then we spoke about the concept of being the Arab with that somebody else acquires for everybody else's behalf and acts as their agent. That works. Even if they do not know, it's still fine. We learned that if you make a hakbar of a Kenyan hakbar of a tefach, that works. Normally three tefachim, but here one tefach works. We said we don't even have to specify who is here, because if people are going to move into the area later on, that's included as well. We learned that a person cannot be mezakeh others through himself. That won't work. We did learn that your son, your daughter cannot be makne on your behalf. We learned that your wife can. And we learned that Eved and Shifcho, if it's Knanim, it does not work. Ivrim does work. More on this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Good evening.